This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out on Old Dan. Come on, Dan, let's go. Let's get up. I appreciate Old Dan being faithful. Let's get back to our study. We're looking there at the total depravity of the human heart. We may have gotten away from our subject a little bit in our last study. We were looking how there that every sinner, but every individual outside of Christ, every lost individual, before he's awakened and has admitted in his heart that he's lost, he's not going towards the Lord. He's not making progress towards the Lord. No, he's going away. Isaiah 53 says, "And have turned every man to his own way." And Romans 3 says, "They've gone out of the way." It matters not whether you're in the pulpit, we mentioned that in our last study, or the pew, or the world. If you've never been awakened to your lost condition, seen yourself as a lost sinner, admitted to God that you're lost, then you're not saved. You can't be saved without being lost. The Bible says he came to seek and to save that which was lost. The Pharisees one time asked the disciples, said, why does your master eat and drink with sinners? Well, that's what his purpose was, to come here, call out sinners. It matters not what arguments you put up. It matters not what type of religious experience you've had. It matters not how young or how old or whatever. That individual must be awakened by the Holy Spirit out of the sleep of death and brought to see that he's lost and admit it and take his place before God as a lost sinner before the Lord will save him. That's right. Pastor, you say I was so young when God saved me. I don't remember a thing about it. Then I tell you, how do you know you're saved? I wouldn't want to go out into eternity, my friend. I often try to get down right where we live, right where the rubber meets the road, as it were, and to get serious. How otherwise can you express a person being lost except to say, I'm lost? I'm going away from God, and I know it, my friend. If you can't tell anything about being saved, then I ask you not to sing that gracious old song, Amazing Grace. But listen, when a depraved sinner is once awakened, now listen, I want you to listen. When a depraved sinner is awakened to the fact that he's lost without God and without hope and on the road to hell, then, as a rule, he starts going around and around in a circle, wandering in a land of waste, trying to get out, trying to find his way back home. He starts doing this and doing that, not realizing that he's helpless and hopeless to find his way to God. If a sinner in that condition would only realize that his salvation is finished in Christ, stop what you're doing, cry unto the Lord, ask the Holy Spirit to lead you to the rock that is higher than I, he would soon be led out and find salvation in Christ. No man, regardless of who he is, can lead a lost sinner in that blinded state out of that wilderness of wandering to the city of God in Christ. Now, we can pray for him. That's a misnomer. The soul winner. No man can lead a man to Christ. I can't lead you to Christ. I can lead you to maybe a decision. That's what people are doing. Well, if I can just get him into church and get him to make a decision for Jesus, well, that's not salvation, my friend. That don't even smell like salvation. Salvation is the greatest thing that ever happens. You never get over it, and you don't want to get over it. But just a decision for Jesus don't amount to nothing. I've met hundreds of folks who did that, even myself. But listen, no man can lead a lost sinner in that blinded state to the city of God. We can pray, sure we can, and that's what we should do. We can be true to their soul, that's what we should do. But it is the work of the Holy Spirit to bring a poor, blinded, lost soul to the mercy seat. You know anything about the mercy seat, my friend? Oh, when a sinner is awakened to his lost condition, when he comes to realize that he's hopeless and helpless to do one thing, then it is that he cries for mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, you folks who tell me you're not saved, that's all you need to pray. You don't need to come there, oh, God, I'm such a sinner. Oh, God, I see myself as lost. Oh, God, I smell the pits of hell. You don't need to do all that. You don't need to do that. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Did you know that our Lord is a merciful God? He is. He said he waits to be gracious. Let me just divert there a minute. The Lord waits to be gracious, sinner. You might have been hearing me now for a week or 10 days and first time you ever heard me. And you think that I never mentioned how a sinner can be saved. Yes, ma'am, I do. Yes, sir, I do. You can trust the Lord. If the Lord is leading you, showing you yourself, you can cry that cry, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And did you know what? The Lord says he waits to be gracious. He said if you cry, he'll answer you. He said if you knock, he'll open the door. Did you know those verses, my friend? Do you ever read the Bible? Do you search God's word for something to cling on to hold on to that exalts the Lord and holds up Christ as a living reality? Do you do that, my friend? But listen. He says, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. When a sinner is awakened, he comes to that realization that he's hopeless and helpless. Then he can cry. Luke 18:13. I'm lost. I'm undone. Lord, save me, else I perish. It is such a prayer rising from the heart of a lost sinner, utterly helpless, hopeless, that reaches the heart of God. Now, my friend, if you ever listen, I want you to hear that. It's such a cry as this. Our Lord waits to be gracious. Our Lord is not a tyrant. He never made it hard for you to be saved. You make it hard for yourself. In your depraved condition, you'll say, I'll not have this man to rule over me, instead of falling at his feet, crying for mercy. Oh, my friend, listen. Utterly in despair, that cry reaches the heart of God. And then he runs with a compassionate heart and falls on his neck and kisses that sinner. Luke 15:10. Then it is that the sinner finds out that his salvation has been accomplished and finished in Christ. Romans 5. Oh, my friend, I just tell you, Christ died for sinners. It's not hard to believe. It's not hard to believe. You believe me, don't you? You believe me, don't you? Most of you. I told a lady one morning, I said, you believe that Mississippi River Bridge will hold you up, don't you? She had to admit that it would. Well, you drive across it every day. You never question whether it's going to fall in or not. But my friend, how much greater is the grace of God? How much greater is the promises of God? How much greater is the love of God? Oh, the love of God. Listen. You must be awakened to the fact before you'll ever cry, before you ever save. Just to have your heart stirred a little, come down the aisle, give the preacher your hand. I don't know when they started doing that. Far back as I can remember. Get you to make a decision. You trust Jesus? You want to be saved? You trust Jesus? Oh, yes, sir. I want to be saved, Pastor. And then baptize you. And call that salvation, my friend. That's not salvation. Then we have individuals who baptize their babies at birth, and they call that salvation. That's right. And then these little Sunday school children, 7, 8 years old, they baptize them, tell them that's salvation. That's not salvation, my friend. It's not even a good imitation. To make a profession of faith in Christ anywhere at any time is not salvation. What a trick Satan has pulled on us poor, blinded humanity in palming off on them a little religious veneer under a cloak of a mental decision for Christ, and call that salvation, which is the greatest thing that ever happens to a soul, salvation. There must come that breaking up, that plowing, that harrowing of that fallow ground of the human heart by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, until that depraved sinner comes to realize that he's without hope and without God, and cries from the depths of his heart, Lord, Lord, I'm lost. Lord, be merciful. When a sinner comes to that place, you'll not have to get him down on his knees and ask him to repeat after you, God, be merciful to me, sinner. No, you don't do that. That's just hypocrisy. That's nauseating. Smell like the brimstone of hell. But when the Holy Spirit has opened that heart and thrown back the skylight of that soul and the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, has shined into that center and has been made to see all of his religious profession has only been a pretense, a veneer under which he's been hiding all of his hypocrisy and sin, and he's made to cry out without coaxing, without kneeling, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? God be merciful to me, a lost, ruined, doomed, undone, hell-deserving sinner, lest I perish." Now, my friend, have you ever come to that place? It's a place of no return. You ain't coming back. You're not coming back, my friend. No, sir. A new creature in Christ, you'll always look back and say, "How in the world did the Lord have mercy on this poor soul? What a wretch I am. And the Lord had mercy upon me. The Lord had mercy upon me. Pastor, can you believe the Lord saved me?" I have folks call me, tell me that. "Pastor, do you believe the Lord saved this old sinner last night?" Oh, my friend, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. And the greatest joy that any pastor, true pastor, has is to hear a soul exclaim, "Pastor, the Lord had mercy upon me and saved me. And now I'm one of his. I'm a child of the King, born from above, a child of the King." I don't know what to say, Pastor. You know what? A newborn child don't know much to say, does he? A baby can't say much. No, he cries a lot. That's what God's child does. He cries a lot. I do, my friend, out on the back porch, out by my pond back there in the late of evening. "Lord, save my family. Save my grandchildren. Save my children that's not saved. Save my congregation, Lord." That's crying unto the Lord. That's it. "Lord, send an awakening in the First Baptist Church of Algiers, Radio Missions, the old Trailblazer broadcast. Send awakening, Lord. Send thy Holy Spirit here. Send the Spirit, Lord. May it go home in power. Break that crust that's been there these years. Break that rebellion that's been there. Break everything that's keeping our folks from trusting the Lord. And, Lord, we'll thank you for it." The old Trailblazer's having to close up. Now, remember my mailing address, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. And my phone number here, 225-664-8658. And then my website, radiomissions.org. Call me. Let me hear from you. Go there to our website and find out much more information. The radio stations that we're on, if you like a log, write me, call me. I'll send you a log of all of our radio stations. And pray for me. Will you do that? And help me with the broadcast a little. Goodbye.